Well, I don't know about you, but I have a few movie lines that are some of my very favorites. But one of my most favorite, and I'm just going to have to move this back a little bit, fellas, because that's going to distract me. One of my very favorites of all comes in the Indiana Jones movie, The Last Crusade. Remember that? Everybody's probably seen it 10 times, although I ran into a couple people this morning who've never seen that, which seems sad to me. You remember how it goes. Indiana Jones shows up and is going back in the deep underbelly of the mountain, and there he comes upon the ancient guardian of the Holy Grail, the cup of Christ, and the old guy's there, and then the bad guy follows him in with the bad girl, and they're there in this deep cavern-like place, and in the center is this big thing of water, and it's, you know, the water of life, okay? And then all around are all of these cups, gold, silver, jewel, encrusted cups, and so forth. You remember. And so the bad guy comes in, and he knows that if he can choose the right cup, the cup of Christ. In fact, the old crusader says, you must choose. But if you choose the right cup, it'll be the cup of life. But if you choose the wrong cup, it will bring death. And so the old guy's like, I don't know what to choose. And then his beautiful, evil cohort says, let me choose for you, and chooses this beautiful cup, and he takes a drink, and I really wanted to show you the clip, but it gets a little gruesome at that point, and for the weak at heart, you know, the guy gets old instantly and turns into a skeleton and dust and crazy. And then my favorite movie line, one of my all-time favorites, is the old crusader says, he chose poorly. Returning to the Sermon on the Mount, which is what we've been in here since the first of the year. In Matthew 7, we see Jesus turning from how people of the kingdom, that's us, influence others in helpful and positive ways, to then giving a final challenge to his audience. That would be the audience on the shore of Galilee, and his audience that's going to read about this in the Gospel of Matthew for centuries to come, us. He challenges them to choose the kingdom of life rather than the alternative. And he draws this word picture in verses 13 and 14. This word picture of two contrasting paths of life. And every person must choose which way they go. The Road Less Traveled is my title. It comes from the great American poet Robert Frost, one that, I don't know about you, but there was about two authors, poets, that we learned in grade school when I was a kid, and one of them was Robert Frost. And one of those poems was The Road Less Traveled. And it's a poem about Robert Frost standing in a wood, a yellow wood, he calls it, and he sees two diverging paths, and he has to choose. And then at the end of the poem, he says, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. Now, there's so much, it seems to me, about life or in life that you really kind of have no say. You have no say where you're going to be born or who your parents are or how tall you're going to be or not be or what your IQ will be. We're all subject to things that we have no control over. We're all subject to natural disasters, economic disasters, taxes, disease, and bodies that age and die. But Jesus says that you have the God-given choice of whether you will live through this life with faith and hope in God or not. Jesus puts it this way, in Matthew 7. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Now, the first word of the text in both our English translation and in the original Greek text is the word enter. And it's in the imperative form. You remember what an imperative is? It's a command. There's some force behind it. So Jesus is not laying out two alternatives and saying, you know, it doesn't really matter that much what you choose. He implores, he insists, he commands with passion, enter. Choose the narrow gate. God will never deny you the freedom to choose. But he will never compromise his love for you and his desire for you to choose wisely. Christ knows this is the crucial choice for every human being. Of all the choices in life that God gives us, and there are many, this one is by far the most critical choice of them all. No other decision in life has the lasting impact of this decision. Will you follow the narrow road of Christ or the wide road that leads another way? Why is this such a crucial choice? Well, maybe it's obvious, but you know, there was a couple things that came to me that maybe aren't quite so obvious. Why this crucial choice? It informs all subsequent choices. The choice to follow Christ on the narrow road guides us in all subsequent choices that we make. Life is filled with all kinds of decisions, some moral decisions and otherwise. How we will live out our lives, what kind of employee we will be. One who does the least possible, just enough to get by and keep the job? Or will we work with integrity as unto the Lord, with honesty, going above minimum requirements? What will our sexual standard of behavior be? You know, the popular culture says anything goes. Any desire is legitimate, well, as long as it's consensual, right? Why wait till marriage? Nobody abides by that ridiculous standard anymore. Just be smart. Use protection and do whatever you feel like doing. That's the wide path, the wide road. The alternative is the way of Christ, the way of self-control, of respect for the soul and the body. Should I yield to my every desire or exercise self-control? Should I do what gives me immediate pleasure and gratification or adhere to the biblical standard not only of sexual conduct, but of all conduct? If you choose the narrow road of Christ, the subsequent decisions, well, they become obvious. Choosing the narrow road of Christ means submitting all subsequent choices to His guidance and His direction. Choosing the way of Christ is not only believing in Him as the Son of God, that seems to me to be pretty easy, it's obeying Him. To choose that road of Christ is to submit all subsequent choices to Him. So every day, I pray a prayer. Usually it's in my car on the way into the office. And that prayer includes the line, "And direct us to the fulfilling of Your purpose through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." I want to be on that path with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I understand that choosing that path is to submit all my other choices to His guidance. He doesn't take them away, but He guides them. This crucial choice not only informs all subsequent choices, it determines to a large extent our companions on the way. No matter how exciting or difficult our life journey may be, our enjoyment of it largely depends on our fellow travelers. Now, Sandy and I got to make a few trips to biblical lands over the last 4 years or so. We got to make a trip to Turkey. We spent 2 weeks visiting the Revelation churches and Ephesus and places like that. And then just a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, we got to visit the Holy Land. And in both cases, we were a part of a tour group. I was more nervous about the tour group than I was about the places we were going that I wasn't sure was going to happen there. But as it turned out, everyone in our tour group were believers in Christ. They had the same kind of goals, the same kind of desire to experience a deeper walk even as we walked through the streets of Ephesus or rode in a boat across the Sea of Galilee. And so the companions on that trip, they weren't perfect. Some got on my nerves sometimes. But generally, they were people after the heart of God who enhanced the trip. Will you travel the road of life with people of faith and hope who hope and pray for the best in you? Will those who share your journey be there for you when the road gets rough and dangerous? And most important of all, will God be with you on the journey? If you choose the narrow road of faith in Christ, He will be with you always. This crucial choice informs all subsequent choices. It determines, to a large extent, our companions on the journey. And then you know this part. It determines our eternal destiny. You choose the path that ultimately determines all eternity for yourself. You can choose life eternal in the presence of God, in the company of the saints, where we will continue to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Or you can choose life apart from God, where you can be your own God, forever focused on yourself, forever grasping for meaning, purpose, peace, joy, the things that just aren't possible apart from our Creator and our Redeemer. This crucial choice, which road? It informs all subsequent choices. It determines, to a large extent, our companions on the way. And it determines our eternal destiny. And then Jesus clarifies the choice with three comparisons in the text. First, narrow versus wide. And that's in reference to the gate or the door. One is a wide and inviting gate, and the other is very narrow and easy to miss. His audience would have thought probably of the contrasting gates in the city wall of Jerusalem. And the old wall is still there in places and has a number of gates that we saw. Some are wide where cars and roadways can go through the gate. And other gates in the wall are very small and very narrow where only one person at a time can get through. You've got narrow steps to it so that only a pedestrian, one person at a time, can get through. And the point, I think, that you can't just simply go with the flow. Follow the crowd, and you'll miss the narrow gate of His kingdom. His second comparison is constricted, and our English text uses the word narrow again, but it's a different Greek word, actually. And it means very constricted versus very broad. And it's in a reference to the road that you follow once you enter the gate. The narrow road is constricted and difficult compared to the broad road that is spacious. One symbolizes an easy and comfortable life, and the other a challenging life with obstacles and troubles. Well, that shouldn't surprise us. Jesus later said, Luke 9:23, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." So, on this path that Jesus is telling us to take, it's a path that includes self-denial, putting others ahead of ourselves and their needs and interests above our own. And there's a cross involved in treading this narrow road. So it's a narrow versus a wide gate. It's a constricted, difficult path or road compared to a broad highway. And then the third contrasting pair of words is destruction or life. Apolleon is the Greek word that's translated destruction here. But there's an interesting little kind of nuance to the definition in the Greek lexicon. There is not only the sense of destruction, we kind of know what that is, the end of things, things are come apart, but there's also the sense of waste in that word. It is used, the same word is used in some other places in the New Testament to refer to something that is wasted. Do you remember the woman who anointed Jesus' head with the expensive oil and perfume? And the disciples go, well, that's a waste. It's the same word, apolleon. Sometimes we hear a person say, he has wasted his life. To choose the wide and easy road is to waste one's life and to head for destruction. It means rejecting what your Creator intends you to become. It means wasting the grace of Christ. It means wasting the potential that God desires to do in you and through you. And the end of the wide road is destruction. And the eternal, haunting memory of what could have been, but was wasted. Apolleon, destruction, is contrasted with Zoe, life. It's a popular girl's name these days. Zoe? Well, it's a Greek word. It means life. But it can mean life in a couple of different senses. It can mean simply this physical life. Somebody breathing alive, your heart beating. But there's also another sense in which this word zoein is used in the New Testament to mean a transcendent life, a deeper kind of life. And this is the way Jesus is using it in this text. This life is the real, true life to be distinguished from a mere biological existence. And it's the claim of Jesus that this real life proceeds from God through faith in Him. It is a life of grace and holiness. It's a life of glory and salvation. It's a life with purpose and hope. It's a life shared in community with the Redeemer and His redeemed. This life is God's gift to everyone who would receive Christ. Who would not only believe in Him, but follow Him and choose this narrow way. It kind of means to be really alive. Jesus uses both apolleon, destruction, and zoein, life, in John 3:16, that verse many of you have memorized. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. You've heard the phrase, you need to get a life. Have you ever said that? Somebody ever said that to you? The implication is that someone needs to find a deeper reason for living rather than just sitting on the sidelines watching the world go by. Jesus makes this incredible claim that He's the source of this life that's filled with adventure and meaning. He says in John 10:10, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full or abundantly. He claims that knowing Him, experiencing Him, following this path, the narrow path, is to know God, and God is the source of life. It is the life that He originally intended for us to have. Life in Christ opens our eyes to all other possibilities and dreams beyond our human capacities to attain. Life reduced to just getting by, that cares only about food for the stomach and something decent to watch on TV after work. That's bios. That's nothing more than a banal biological existence. And God wants you to have more. Life in Christ embraces the glorious purpose and mission of Christ to be salt and light in a dark world. Life that is merely biological existence is a short-term and limited life to the fast-approaching dead end of the grave. Life in Christ celebrates God with us. All the days He gives us in this world, in this life. And it's merely a taste of the glorious life to come in eternity. The first place we visited on our Middle East trip 2 years ago was Egypt. We saw the pyramids. And then after we saw the pyramids, next to the pyramids, we were able to see the majestic Sphinx in the distance against the background of the pyramids, piercing the clear blue sky. That's where it is from a distance. I took that picture. And the Sphinx just kind of drew us like a magnet. I just had to get closer. Really what I wanted to do was climb on it, but they don't let you do that. But it drew us like a magnet, and I just had to get closer. But to get closer meant negotiating a very narrow stone passageway that was absolutely jammed with tourists and locals. There's the picture. I took that picture by holding my camera up before I went in there. It was rather intimidating to me. It seemed so claustrophobic. But I just had to get closer to see this marvelous spectacle, the Sphinx. So I moved my wallet from the back pocket to the front pocket where it was safer. I grabbed my wife's hand, and we plunged in to that passageway. We were determined to run the gauntlet to get a close-up view of this ancient marvel. And with strangers pressing in on all sides, it felt more like being in a river current than a walkway. You couldn't raise your arms above your head in the crushing crowd. I was way too close to far too many people for my taste. But finally, the stone passageway spilled us out onto this spacious platform, and we took in the Sphinx up close in all its glory. And it was glorious. It was worth running the gauntlet. It was worth it. And the gauntlet, it was an adventure. Jesus, He always gives full disclosure. Jesus is never into bait and switch messages. He always tells you the truth. And He says, "You follow Me. It's a narrow path. And many will miss it. Many will choose to go the way of serving themselves. You choose the narrow way. Life in the kingdom, it's not an easy life, but it's a good life. It's the best life." Some of you know that my wife's in graduate school at St. Edward's. And she's working toward a particular degree. But you know what's great about it from the husband's perspective? She enjoys the journey. For her, St. Edward's University is not an obstacle to get over in order to do something she wants to do. I always kind of feel sorry for people who view education that way. This is an obstacle. I'll have to grin and bear it. She loves every minute. Just last Tuesday, we went to her first class of the spring, and I rode with her because it was a night class when we got down, and she came out just beaming. She loved it. And so I loved her loving it. She enjoyed the trip. It's a narrow way to follow Christ. It's not an easy path to follow, but it's a glorious path filled with adventure and some difficulty. It's a good life, the best life. One last story. Sometimes in my agingness, I'll be driving home like last Tuesday night, coming back from St. Edwards. And I'll be on I-35 there coming north, and I've lived in the same house now for over 25 years. You'd think I'd know the way home. But I'll become so involved in a conversation like Tuesday night with my wife about school, or other times I'll just be daydreaming or singing to the radio, and I'll miss my own exit. I used to tease my dad about that. What goes around comes around. I'll just go flying by Pflugerville right into Round Rock before I catch myself. It's not a big deal. I'll just take the next exit and circle back to Pflugerville. Only a few minutes are lost. I just forgot for a moment where I was going. And there for a few moments, I was just following the road blindly, wherever it's going to be. Probably someday I'll end up in Minnesota. I think that's as far as I-35 goes. That's no way to lead life. Every road leads to a destination. The road you are on, the life you are leading, has a destination. It is life or it is destruction. Are you on the road, the narrow road that leads to life, that is life, or the broad road that leads to a wasted life? Perhaps sometime long ago you started on that narrow road, and then maybe you faltered a bit. Well, you're in a safe place. You're in a safe place here. I depend on people in this church to pick me up and encourage me when I falter a bit. We need each other on this path, and God is with you. So I'm going to ask the worship team, the large worship team, to come back. And we're going to do that last song again, I think. That's what we're going to do. Is it just you, Gary, or is the whole team? Oh, there are some people. We're going to sing this last song, and I just get the sense that many of you are kind of like me, maybe, and that you made that choice to go through the narrow gate and continue down the narrow path. And it's a good path, the best path. It's a good life. But sometimes we just falter. And so today, there's two ways to respond. And the first, and the one most of us will need to respond, is I want to recommit my life to that path. I want to reaffirm my faith in Christ, meaning I will live in obedience to Him and submit all the choices of life to His guidance and His wisdom. And then maybe there's a few. You've never really made the choice, or you're well along the broad path to destruction and waste, and you're thinking, is it too late? Is there an exit I can take to get from the highway to destruction back to that small, narrow, beautiful path of life? And the answer is yes. Yes, there's an exit that'll take you to that other path. If you want to take that exit today, you make that decision deep in your heart. So we're going to sing this wonderful old song. And we're going to keep this place a place of prayer. And if you feel inclined, you can come and kneel at the altar and pray and recommit your life or reaffirm your desire to be on that path of life or make that choice for the first time. Or you can stay right in your seat and right in your heart. You can do that as well. Let's stand up and sing. Come and kneel and recommit if you need to. Nobody will bother you if you do. That's just between you and God. And we'll go from there. May you travel the narrow road of faith in Christ in the joy of being fully alive in Him today and forevermore. Amen.